Let's continue. We're in the chapter dealing with Pagia. It was a long time ago, so maybe let's just summarize briefly what we said. The Indian of Pagia is a increase in killers. It's a continual, almost like being a nudnik, to the language, but Pagia is where a person continually focuses his attention, Loshen Milchama, focuses his attention on a specific thing that he wants, and he puts all his koichas into it. The mashal is like he's a laser. You concentrate all your energy into that point to do what the laser needs to do. So that's the Loshen of what's called Pagia. The Gemara says that if the Torah hadn't said, we wouldn't be able to say it. It was like a Kodesh Baruch Hu grabbed hold of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like you grabbed hold of your friend by his beged. You want to speak to your friend, you grab hold of him and you say, hey, I got to talk to you. There's a Loshen there of the Gemara. And he said, I'm not letting you go. So the Loshen there is Moshe says, I'm not letting you go until you forgive the people. So it's for us, it'd be the Gemara says you wouldn't be able to say such things, but the Torah says it, so we have to live with it. But that's the concept of Pagia. Pagia is focusing all your attention on something you want and going for it unapologetically. So just one second. Oh, at the end of Chedek Aleph of Pagia, he says, this sums up exactly what we're dealing with. Whatever that is. To increase one's tefillahs without interruption. On a specific thing, until you get it. To daven for atzlocha for Yerushalayim, for yourself, for somebody else, or anything else. Or al chinuch yelodim, you got the Yerushalayim, the Talmid HaChachomim, or gon bekas shel abonim, or chois panos, or whatever the issues are, likanes b'milchonto shel tefila yoimam v'layla. Today that doesn't need emphasis. Today anachnu b'milchoma, and our koach of milchoma is this koach. This koach of Pagia, that's l'kanes shel tefila yoimam v'layla. Lo la'zoi v'lo la'arpot, not to leave it alone. It's always there, it's always back, it's the pumping. Ad she'rachameu olav min ha'shamayim v'yasig v'choshev. Until you have rachamim from v'mayim and you get it. Again, we don't understand why it should be like this. Why does Hashem need me to do this? Again, that's not our subject, but you have a powerful tool here, a very powerful tool. It requires concentration, requires effort, but it's a very powerful thing. And it's hard to do because you feel like you shouldn't be doing it. Philosophically, we get trapped up. Well, you have to put that aside. You have to focus your attention on what the Chazal tell us what you should do. So that's your Yoter Pachot summarizes what we spoke about. I can't remember how long ago it was. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Okay. Can't believe it's only been a week since we, it was a Shana Rabban, we couldn't have a Shia, and we, some stuff's happened since then, eh? Okay. Tov. On the Ein base. Hine. Kan tzarech lizirut rabah. Keshe mishtamesh b'tzur zu shel tefillah. There's a warning here. When you're using this kind of a tefillah, which we see is a very powerful tool, it's an atom bomb, this. You have to use it very carefully. What's the problem? What are you warning us about? Be very careful when you're dealing with this. The example he brings is from Choni Amagel. Konya Margul was as great as they came. His tefillah was beyond comprehension. But Konya Margul davened a tefillah, which a musical religion, shitri, if you don't analyze it, looks like chutzpah. You're telling Hashem, hey, you the maker drain, or I'm not coming out of the circle. So stay in the circle and die. Well, you're not getting out of the circle, so don't. But stay in the circle. The child says to you, you know, if you don't give me the ice cream, I'm not going to sleep. Fine, don't go to sleep. You know, eventually, you'll fall asleep somewhere, you know, but he's threatening me. And the Lord said this, Mi godol lanu mechonia magal shomru loy. Il melo chonia ta gazani lecha nidoy. Hashem says, if you weren't chonia magal, if you weren't as great as chonia magal, I would have made a nido on you. Nido mishamayim, whatever, with all the ramifications. Shechshiva oisa kemazalzal bekovod harav. There's a zilzul here. V'yesh b'zei shnei dvorim. Na'echad, sh'anu rechoyki me'od meledat ma'a tovateinu amitis. When a person starts being ma'akish for something, do we really know what's good for us or for the person you're davening for? You keep asking for something, you may get it. Well, who says it's good for you? Who says it's good for you? Hagon al ashirus kedoyme. But if you lost chokhmah mufleges, person davening for chokhmah, what could be wrong with having more chokhmah? What could be having with? I want lots of chokhmah. I'm sure, like Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech did not for money. He asked for chokhmah. He and I also want chokhmah. But there's a danger with that. Sure enough, Sheinu Yodat Shekama Shekama Dvorim Shebikshanu Aleim Ubemeshach Hazman Yitbarek Kama Yazeh LeTovah Shelo Asignotam. There are plenty of things we asked for, and then later on you realize, oh, Baruch Hashem, I never got that. And sometimes you get things and you say, oi, I don't really know if I wanted it in the end. That's the problem. We don't know what's good for us. So what are you telling me? You're telling me on one hand that you've got this koyach of pagir, this the koyach of tefillah, and you can go ahead and use it. We felt a bit uncomfortable using it. We intuited this problem because there's a makish ktsat. Lo derech eretz to mitnehek like that in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what's good for me, and I've asked. I have to ask. Why I have to ask it? I shouldn't even have to ask. But okay, we've got over that problem. Why you have to daven? Well, I daven. I asked, and every day I ask again. This ongoing nudnik in 515 tefillahs. I felt a bit uncomfortable with it, but he tells you have to do it. Now he's telling you, yeah, you were right to feel uncomfortable with it, because not so toshut. Because first of all, we saw from Chonia Margul, it's not your big bazalzel here. But more than that is, how do you know what's good for you? How do you know what's good for you? So what's the eitzah? How do we... How do you resolve this apparent problem? We'll give an example now, but once you daven klali, in a nusach, that the mashmois of that nusach is that, of course, it's got to be kerotzon Hashem, only if it's good for me. Person davening for a shidduch, let's say. Okay, so yevakesh yizmin lo kosh bochu shidduch karotz and Hashem bishvilo. The davening Hashem should sell you a shidduch that's karotz and Hashem, that's matim for you, that Hashem thinks is matim for you, not what you think is matim for you. Okay, mit palal panos, yevakesh lo kosh bochu yizmin lo panos, kefi mash luis barach yodeh shiile tovatoy. You're davening for panos. Don't ask for $1 million. $1 million might be too little, might be too much, we don't know. Davening that Hashem should give you a panosa that's good for me, lefirot and Hashem. That's what I'm asking for. And also ask that my tefillah, this ongoing tefillah that I'm davening, shouldn't create a kitrug or a chet in front of Hashem. Hashem shouldn't prevent Hashem from giving me what I want. It's a tricky mikzor, it's a tricky profession, this pagia. The other tefillahs we saw, tzaka, these things, the person in pain, he screams. No one's going to have tainus against you. Why are you screaming? I've got my thumb caught in the door. I'm screaming. I'm in pain. I'm screaming. Yeah, it's not a gut reaction tefillah. This is a calculated tefillah. It's a calculated, directed, focused tefillah. There's dangers here. The person has to be careful. So the guard against that, he says, I'm clearly. You can also daven b'klali for Klal Yisrael. You can daven that Klal Yisrael should have panos, and I should be included in that. There's all the Klal Yisrael that need shidduchim and include me in there as well. There's ways to daven, yeah, klali, that removes the dangers. And then you can go be, then you can go be, then you can go utilize this kli. And also, it has to be Karotzen Hashem. Because sometimes Hashem will give us what I want, what we want, because that's the koyach of tefillah, even though it's a local kach tof for us. You know, the koyach of tefillah is we know, yeah, koyach of tefillah, but I heard from a bidderman, one of the reasons why Kosh Bochu told Moshe to go down to the river, by Paro, when Paro went to go to the river in the morning to relieve himself, so Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kosh Bochu to go down there early and meet him. Why Dafka there? Because he was pretending to be a god. That's the usual. That's the shot. But the Bidman brought a midrash that says, Akash Baruch Hu sent, it's a Zohar, a midrash, lo zocheh where it came from. The Chazal, that Akash Baruch Hu sent Moshe to the river because Paro was going down to the river to daven. He's going to pray. He's going to pray for the well being of Mitzrayim. Why he had to go there? I don't know. Lo yodeh biduk what the story is, but that's where he went. Maybe it's both. He went to relieve himself and whatever. And afterwards, he was going to pray. So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you better go down and stop him davening. Because if he prays, I'm not going to be able to bring the makas. Paro is slaughtering, murdering babies, Jewish babies. Slaughtering, murdering Jewish babies. 100 babies every day for his personal needs. He's going to pray to Hashem and no makas. You know, you come to the pot of the makas in the Haggadah, there's no makas. I don't know what the Ganenets would do for 3 months of the year if there weren't makas, but you know, no makas. Moshe means to stop Paro from davening. Is that koich shul tefila? Allah has come over come us. How much koich we have in tefila? Therefore, the tefila has been worded in such a way that it can't bring negativity. That's the, you have to remember that. But over sheni, shagam kishanu mevakshim laman shmo yisbarach ala geula v'ala avtochas v'cheres ha'yomim v'kul היומים וכל העניונים שכבר קרובו לנו חזר שם לרוצן לפני השם, גם בזה צריך מאוד להיזהר בכבוד שמיים. כלו שם חזר בעניין התפילה. קרבו זה כלפי שמיים, מי עיקר? This is Rupinkus talking. You have to remember, Rupinkus, that you've heard even one of his shirim. You know that Rupinkus spoke about a Kosh Baruch Hu like your best friend. You hold his head and you go with him and he's like your father and he's saying, yeah, but you have to be careful because it says in Chazal, Chavrusa klape shema amika. You are Hashem's Chavrusa, you are Hashem's friend. Person has to know his place. Person needs to know his place. So why there's this infinite love from Hashem and Rachim? But at the end of the day, he's still Hashem, and we're still we. So we have to be careful, even when you're davening for things that are even things that are in the siddur. That angel Zadoyla was mistaken for us to say. Even there, one has to be very careful with Kovach Shemayim. The same as a person has a relationship with his father. Child has a relationship with his father. Very close friends. They can roll on the floor together. They can bounce around. They can play hide and seek together. They go and teal him together. But there's still an understanding that that's the son and I'm the father, and that there's a relationship here that requires, there's a hierarchy in the world. So that's another thing that he, and if he's warning you, that's quite a solid warning, because you listen to the way he spoke, it was revolutionary what he was saying. Revolutionary the way he was talking about Hashem and his relationship with Hashem. But that doesn't mean that there's a zilzul that's to be done with Kofet. Even if it is a father, even if it is Avinu Sheva Shamayim, Vani Bni Bukhari Yisrael, but there's still a father-son relationship, and it has to be looked at properly. It can't be a... not Choni Amagel. Even Choni Amagel was in danger had he not been as great as Choni Amagel. We don't understand who Choni Amagel was, that's for sure not. But then, Kashanu mitpalim, mahalim, mishapkim, medrabim, mitois baruch betfila, ublashoina shal neichach vechiba, gon avinu malkeinu. And also when we're davening and we're praising Hashem and we're using all sorts of lashoinas of endearment and closeness and warmth with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, avinu malkeinu. We have to deal with this because this is a big clash I have on many places. Rabbi Victor Miller and him himself, who uses that lotion of Hashem being my best friend. We have to see how to deal with that. It's not a big kasha. Just we have to see how you align these things and how you put them into perspective. But Hashem's not your buddy. Hashem is way, way beyond anything we have any mussog of a concept of, way above. If it wasn't for Hashem's infinite chesed, which allows him to put up with us, to do chesed with us, you wouldn't be able to talk to him, have any keshu with him bichlal. What keshu would you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu if he didn't have this enormous desire to do good with us? What keshu would you have with him? Are you going to talk to Hashem? I want to talk to Hashem. You can't even talk to the Rosh Ha'ir of the city you're living on because they're too important and you can't get through to them and whatever. You want to talk to Hashem? Who's going to let you talk to Hashem? How are you going to get there? Enormous chesed. Hashem gave us this ability to talk to him, and he listens and he takes us seriously. There's a biggest pella. He mamash takes us seriously. That's an untold expression of infinite greatness. The enormous, enormous chesed that we can get up and say, Avinu Malkeinu. The difficult avoider, and it has to be to work on it a little bit every day, is on the one hand, there's this enormous kirva and this love and this infinite outpouring of chesed and love that Hashem has for us. Such a person has to mitnaheg with a Kodesh Baruch Hu with the correct levels of yirah and pachad and awesomeness of understanding who he is. So it's a very Jewish problem. How you deal with these contradictions in these, well, not contradictions, a paradox a little bit. The enormity of the greatness of Hashem, which instills fear and awe and just like want to run away because it's too big. And at the same time, there's just this infinite love and chesed and closeness and is it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, it's a little chiddush what's being said here. It's an ongoing stira, you know. But we all know that it's true. We all know that Hashem has infinite love and caring for us. We all know that. And we also know at the same time, there's a pachad. Pachad, oimid lifnei Hashem. Oimid lifnei Hashem. Who's not scared of Yom HaDin when you're oimid lifnei Hashem? Today we don't feel the pachad because we oimid lifnei Hashem. We don't know we oimid lifnei Hashem. We're standing in front of a shtender with a, you know, we don't have that year of Shemaim. Aval, we have to understand that needs to be in place. Yachad im hakirva, together in the enormous closeness, othel asiach das, you can't take your mind off for one moment. The hiyub of year of a pachad, of his godness and the awesomeness of who you're dealing with. Vegam im matzanu tzadikim gedoilim, afilu bedoilu sachreinim. And even though we find big tzadikim, even in the later generations, they have their ways of davening and of doing things. And you can't learn from them. You're not from Chaim Kanievsky. The dogma of somebody who lived in our generation. You know, and they were great. They were the great admorim who would command Hashem, Aloshen Azaloshen, give people promises. I promise you, you'll have a child. You know, that's. What's that? Hashem said, no, he's promising. The great people that behaved in certain ways that we can't learn from them. The people who felt and knew how close they were to Hashem, and they knew that what they were saying, Hashem wanted them to say. Us were smaller than small and riddled with chatoim. To be babo is tefillah kezeh, ze lo matim lanu. Balkogon da amo shloma amelech ava sholom. Ki elokim b'shamayim v'ata la'aretz al ken yidvarecha ma'atim. Because Hashem is in the aretz, there's a lot to be learned from the shtikl koheles. Hashem is on the shamayim and you're in the aretz, therefore don't speak too much. Don't speak too much. So the pshat is, Rav Miller has a whole essay on this in Shtika, the power of בואי לפיו. שזה השם זועם את הארץ על בלי מה. We said it a few times over the Yomim Noirim. Hashem Zoyim Eda Aretz Al Blima. Chazal say, what's Al Blima? Al Boilim Piv. Hashem keeps the world going for somebody who knows how to keep his mouth shut when it should be shut. He also knows how to use it when it's supposed to be used. Chazak somebody to give people chizuk. You can't just sit there going, because you're keeping quiet. You have to know how to use the Boilim Piv. Because Hashem's in the Shemaim. That's why you shouldn't speak too much. So yeah, he's taking that one step further, that shut. Means even in Tefillah, if you know your place, it's unbelievable. If anybody else was saying this, I wouldn't have a problem. But I'm talking about somebody who I've heard hundreds of times. Go take out one of your shirim now. Listen to any one of your shirim you want, because they're all on the same subject. They're all on the same subject of Kevus Elokim and the love for Hashem, and he's your tati, and he loves you, and he's your best friend. And Rupikas is saying this. You've heard Rupinka's shirim before? You've listened to a shirim of his? Any shmuel, you've ever heard a shirim of his? Take out one shirim of his and listen to it. All his shirim, hundreds of shirim, they're all on one subject. Tati, I want to come live with you. I want to be with you. You're my tati, your calves are tati, tati, tati. And that's how he lived. That's how he davened. But at the same time, this tati is. Amnam, kasheyesh lo odem tzora. So what do I need all this for? Now we just everything we learned last week in paragraph in chapter Aleph here of Pagia, you just told me so why waste 2-3 pages here? He's a busy man. I'm a busy man. I'm not just tell me. Listen, Pagia is a lot shy chayom. There's no Pagia. There's no bishvilayna. What did you teach? I got so excited. This is amazing, amazing key. Now you tell me there's no bishvilcha. So thanks. So you just tell me, yes, this thing, and it's wonderful, but you're not allowed to use it. It's not nice. Amnam, kashe yesh lo la'odom. Tzora, person's got, he's got serious tzora. Who hasn't got tzoras today? Or inyan achutz v'reitzel itfos derech zu shel tefillah. A person has something he needs, and he wants to use this derech of tefillah. Yame emoid b'amiris tehillim. There's ways to do it in a positive way. You get your sefer Tehillim and start saying lots of Tehillim. Or other tefillahs that Chazal were koveya. V'chein yitpalal bo'ifin zeh shilatzeik ma'im mekalev lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'v'chah sh'atzuma u'b'mafgia oid v'oid l'tzoin sh'tzoin yisbarach yiskayim bo'ya. Inside yourself, it's a shiluv, a little bit of this and the other tefillahs we saw. A person's hurting, he's in pain, to scream from the depths of one's heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to weave into that tefillah that this rotten Hashem should be mekayem through my tefillah. Person should be careful not to be makel in the covet of Hashem. It's not a steerer to the ava and the chibo and the love and the warmth that Hashem has for us and that we have for him. But there still has to be an understanding of who we're dealing with, and there shouldn't be a zilzul in kavod of Hashem. But talit tefilos el rotzen lifnei lefonav lehevid or brocha b'kol inyan shivakish shalav. Okay, there's another shtickle, but Mr. Shem, 3 minutes is not enough time to grapple with it. There's enough to think about here. So last week it was very good. Last week everything was fine. You have this koyach of tefillah. We can go mamash be ma'akesh, and you can be as chutzpah because you want, and you can mamash beat on Hashem's door until he just says, all right, already. Speak, you can have it. You know, like a baby, like a child begging for something. That's how we describe it. Milchonto. Take all your koichas and focus and want this. We've learned today, she's a local kach poshut. First of all, if you're doing it, you have to do it, but klali. You don't want to be sticking your head into the, you're not Choni Amagel. And even Choni Amagel was borderline. Hashem warned him. You're darn lucky that you're Choni Amagel. If you weren't, you would have got frazzled. So it's got to be done. And we've also got another problem, which we have to work through. There's an old problem, but it's just been revitalized here. And that is that on the one hand, there's this enormous chibah and warmth and love of Hashem and trust in Hashem and closeness to Hashem. But at the same time, it doesn't mamite the covet you have for Hashem. You have to be careful. You can be warm and close and loving with somebody and still have enormous covet for them, not to be mazalzel in the covet. It's a difficult balance for us living in a generation where covet's almost non-existent. The concept of COVID is almost non-existent. So it's avoid aperitif. Everything today is an avoid aperitif. Anybody thinks you can get up today and talk klali, you're making a big mistake. I'm not saying we should. We should have people giving chizuk and people saying things and talking about things. Fashan, that's for clear. The big people doing that. But at the end of the day, each person has to understand that what happened here and what's happening here is a personal cheshbon Hashem is with everybody. Don't make the mistake and think that Hashem brought 2,000 people to that party there next to Gaza and whatever, and then the Arabs came and killed people, and some got in and some got out, and Nisim, whatever. That's not the correct perspective. Each individual there had his own personal cheshbon with Hashem. Why Hashem brought them all to be together in that place, I don't know, but it wasn't 2,000 people. There was one plus one plus one, and it's the same with us. Each person going through what we're going through now, it's too big, Rabbeisa, to absorb in 1 week or even 2 weeks. It's not the way we approach a problem like this. You don't say, yeah, we understand what happened. We know what we have to do. We've got the message. Wrap it up, put a nice bow on it, and send it off. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's too big. You have to think about it and process it and look at it and then go away and then come back again, the same as you do the Holocaust. 70 years, you've dealt with the Holocaust yet? I haven't. So what do? You come back at it and you think about it again. We have the 3 weeks, we have a Tisha B'Av. Have you dealt with what happened in Eicha yet? Also not. It's too big. So how do you deal with it? Little by little. You think about it, you have to analyze it, you have to look at yourself, you have to talk to Hashem, we have to step out of it, come back again. It's too big. You can't sit here and immerse yourself in this thing. It's too big. We humans. And our emotions have a way of shutting down. So you have to first open up the emotions and let us feel a little bit also. And that's no law. We can't absorb all of what's going on here. Do it slowly, slowly, slowly. I've heard people saying it's because of this, and this is what you have to do. And Rabboni this is what happened. Do me a favor. You told me an Adam Godel said it, but said, I'm not listening to what Das Torah has to say about this. Well, we're not Das Torah. And what we have to do, are we going to give a klal recipe? There are antibiotics that a person can talk about. We have to machazik in learning Torah. We have to machazik avos Yisrael. But that you have to always do. That's not a chiddush. For sure, those are things that are klalik, sort of antibiotic type responses. But as an individual, each person has to work through this on his own, and it's not so poshut. It's not so poshut how to deal with it. We know, these people had Hashem's permission to do what they did. So, it also has to be wired into the system that is not the posture to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand this kind of stuff. He also had kashas on Hashem. So we also have problems with it. It's not something you want to sweep under the carpet and just say, yeah, I've understood. Now I know why this happened. Yeah, because look what they were doing. Look, they were there. You know, in the war, I remember Lechter once, in the war, so when they started in Berlin, so people said, yeah, for sure, we understand. Look at the assimilation in Berlin. We understand, for sure. Of course. Then they went into Poland, and people said, yeah, for taste, of course, in Poland, the Bundesdeam and the Apikor thing, for sure, understand. But in the end, they went to Baranovich, and they took Rebelchonim, and they went to Slobodka, and they took Revorim Grzynski also in there. So what are you going to say? Taste. Those kids were dancing at a party, and they were taking You can't talk like that. If you talk like that, you're not even Apikoros. You just don't understand anything about anything. What are you going to say? No, I'm serious. What are you going to be? That's what they said in the war. Berlin for sure. Assimilation and Apikoros. But what are you going to say when they took Rebel Chana? Now, what are you going to say? You got an answer for that one? You were Haile Gehinnya that got killed on Shabbos. Haile Gehinnya, totally people got killed here on Shabbos. Yeah, you got an answer for that one? Because Hashem is in Shemayim and we're on the Aretz, therefore, don't speak too much. It's dangerous. Yibusuras Toivas, a good in Shabbos, good Nerev Shabbos.
Thank you, thank you.
I'll see you Sunday,
Okay,
Bezrat Hashem, Rav Shmuel, you back?
Bezrat Hashem, Bezrat Hashem.
Look forward to seeing you.
Okay, good
care.
Shabbos.
Shalom, shalom.
Okay, thank you.